Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word. 2 Timothy 3:16. We're going to go right into God's word, continue our discussion about the integrity, the authority of the Bible. What is the Bible? It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It's the sword of the Spirit. How reliable is it? It's inspired by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That book is reliable. And Christians understand and recognize the Bible as God's principal revelation to humanity. 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, over 40 authors, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Last week I told you the times God breathed on the earth. One time it was when He breathed into Adam after He formed him out of the dust. Instantly he became a living soul. When God breathes on something, it changes. When Jesus breathed on the church at the end of His ministry and at the preparation of His crucifixion, listen, power exuded onto the church. There are hundreds of millions of us 2,000 years later that are vibrantly alive because of the power of God breathing under the earth. Our physical origin and our spiritual origin and the authenticity of this book. God breathed it. It's out of His very essence. He authored the book. Jesus, in fact, is the Word made flesh. Men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit to write out by inspiration where God brought revelation to them concerning the law and concerning prophetic things and concerning His plans and purposes. And it's authentic, it's trustworthy, it's reliable. It's not just the manufacture of man. It's not just some interesting book from the ancients, you know, designed to cope. It is, in fact, the very Word of God. It is holy. That's why they call it the Holy Bible. Amen. David said, "I rejoiced over your word as one who found great spoil." You know, it's more desirable than gold. It's better than rubies. I watched a man one time on the beach with a metal detector, and he was so excited about finding little doodads and little knickknacks and curios on the beach. He said something to me. He said, and I don't remember the exact number, but he said, there is this many tons of gold out on the beaches of California. And he had some incredible astronomical number from people losing watches and things and rings and things like that. And this guy, you know, in fact, he showed me, he pulled out his little pouch and just with this incredible look in his eyes, you know, he had his 5 o'clock shadow and he had this headphones on and this thing and every, you know, and seagulls all around him. And he showed me this ring he found and he showed me, and I just was just obsessed, you know. But David said, "I rejoiced over your word." See, he was prosperous. He was powerful. He had, you know, he had a lot going on in areas of his life, but he said the most desirable, most wonderful, most fully functional, beneficial thing in my life is the promise and the blessing and the revelation of God's word. God's word is true. Let me just say this. As realistically as our bodies need physical food for nourishment, for sustenance, our spirit needs food, needs the word. And the Bible says, as newborn babes desire earnestly the sincere milk of the word, God talks about maturity in terms of the meat of the word. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hey, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us where the word of God comes from. Men wrote it, but God inspired it. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Well, that's good. Not some, but all. And it didn't just come from man. It was inspired by God. In fact, the Bible says that holy men of old were moved by God to write down through inspiration and revelation the expressed will of God. So we have something very special here. It's actually a treasure. This is the holy document. This is God's revelation to man. As Christians, we recognize the inerrancy and the authenticity of the Word of God in the original languages and the Hebrew and the Greek, and how God brought forth His will, His purpose regarding creation, regarding the law, regarding the fall of man, regarding redemption through Jesus Christ, regarding the church, regarding our authority as believers, regarding heaven and hell, the enemy and the victory that's going to swallow up and conquer the sin and the depravity of the world, and the purposes God has for eternity. And it's all here. It's awesome. It's all inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And here's the reason: so that the man of God may be equipped, adequate, equipped for every good work. This is our equipment. The Bible talks about the Word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. In Psalm 19, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." It says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If you want to understand the Bible, it is a rare thing. It's not just great writings. It is God's Word. It is holy. It's different than any other book. It's different than any other document. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's changed nations. It's impacted souls. In fact, I got saved because I heard a scripture verse. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Romans says, how will they believe if they've never heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? And then it talks about how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring tidings of good news. There's something powerful about the proclamation of the gospel. We're to preach it. We're to listen to it. We're to act on it. We're not just to be hearers, but doers of the word. And in fact, there's a promise. The Bible says, this man will be blessed. If you're a doer and I'm a doer and we're doers of the word as individuals, whether we're single or married, whether we're new Christians or we've been around a while, there's a promise in the word that if we take action on what the scripture says, we will be blessed in what we do. There's a blessing on obedience. There is a blessing. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you disobey, you'll be devoured by the sword. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That puts the fear of the Lord in me. The consequences of disobedience and the reward of obedience. I'm going, I like the reward. I don't like the consequences of disobedience. And I know that there's a promise. God's word is reliable. The Bible says the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You could spend time in this book. It'll shine light on you. It'll show you where you're wrong. It'll bring amplification on what's right. In fact, let's go to Psalm 19 because I think we need to review this portion of Scripture. Psalm 19 commends us to the Word of God, and it echoes Romans 12:2. Talks about, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I took my vitamins this morning. I'm at the age where I took some of that joint, what's that stuff called? I took some of that, you know. I'm at that age, you know what I mean? Where it's like I crawl out of bed, creaking sounds are coming out of my joints, you know. I know there are certain nutrients that address certain things, and they've proven it scientifically. And I know that the Word of God is healthy. The Bible says that His Word is health or life or medicine to all your flesh. And I know that it's good for what ails you, from toes to the top of your head. You know, I remember when Heather contracted this flesh-eating bacteria. Apparently it was, they think, an inverted kind of chicken pox situation that started to ravage her abdomen. As a young baby in diapers, I watched as the doctors and nurses raced her into an emergency surgery situation, and I watched her convulsing, and she was close to death. I remember her mother was just weeping, and we were running all down the hall. It was a surreal moment. And I remember they started to operate, and they said, this is eating her abdomen at a rate of an inch every 2 hours, or inch something like that. I don't remember the ratio, but it was deadly. People were dying from this in San Francisco. There was some sort of weird rash of it. I don't know if you remember this a few years ago. And I remember going into the emergency area in the ICU, and I remember standing with the dad, and this little baby had tubes from all over the place going into her little body. She was a little bitty kid in this big bed with all these tubes and all these bags of all this. So the doctor told me this one is for this infection and this one's for this infection. And there were like four or five of them because they don't know what's there. And I remember Proverbs chapter 4 that said, and stay here with this verse, but I'll read this to you quickly. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they, his words, are life to those who find them and health to all their body. God quickened that verse to me while I stood at the foot of this baby's bed in what felt like the hopelessness of the moment, where this pastor and this dad stood there and watched this little precious girl wasting away under this ravaging attack of some sort of brutal disease that the doctors didn't even know what it was yet, but they knew for sure that it was taking its toll in a rapid way. It was the most serious, grave moment that I've ever seen. And I remember as we stood there, the dad was telling me what the doctor had just told him, and I remember saying, okay, these are all addressing all these types of possibilities of infection, but God's word is health to all our flesh. And I said, okay, these are addressing all these things and thank God for them, but God's word prevails over all and is actually practical. I said, brother, those are all beneficial, but we're going to trust God. And we grabbed hands with each other. We agreed together. And as we prayed, I'll never forget, we stood there over that little baby who was at this time, she was completely unconscious. And the nurse stepped up and she said, hey, would you like me to take pictures for the testimony later? I said, excuse me? And she said, I've been watching you. And she said, I go to family church. I have a camera. Do you want me to start taking pictures now? And I looked at the dad and he looked at me and we didn't know what to say. We were in the throes of this thing. And he said, yeah. I said, that's a good idea. I thought, what an interesting, wonderful thing to have this nurse filled with faith. Let's start taking the pictures now. Every time I see Heather in this church, it reminds me that the Word of God is living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Yeah. To attend to the Word and give attention to it. Oh, she's a beautiful, tall, sleek, smiling young Christian. Is a wonderful girl. She's got a sweet spirit. Got quite a testimony. I think this is amazing. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. I remember a doctor that came out of the shower. She had her hair was wet, so I remember that. She said to Bobby and Laura later on in the attack, I'll never forget, I happened to be there on a visit. And she said basically something to the effect that, nah, she's probably going to die. And it shook their faith. And I love and respect and honor doctors. I was on the phone with one 2 days ago. I believe in the medical profession, and I'm grateful for medicine. But I know who the healer is. I know they're all assisting and doing, thank God, but we know where the help comes from. And I said to them, I took them in the waiting room. Their faith was shaken. I said, listen, okay, that's what she said. Facts are friends. Well, now we know what we're dealing with, but now what does God say? He said, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them. Health to all their flesh. The entrance of his word gives light. When you're in the darkness of a decision, God's light starts to shine and bring answers. It gives understanding to the simple. His word is a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our path. It's so wonderful. These occasions when in society, somebody will write a fictionalized book and then a film and belittle or throw question at the scriptures. This has withstood far greater criticisms with stellar intellects. But the wisdom of man it pales. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the authenticity of the word is internally reinforced, externally reinforced, archaeologically reinforced. But you know, at the end of the day, it's alive. It's active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Nobody could take it away from me. We would go into that chapel down there at Cardinal Glennon, and we had two doctors with us from the church. that were there praying. I think people that give their lives to 10 or 12 years of school and do those 24-hour emergency room residencies and stuff, they got to be devoted to some kind of deal, man. We would say, hey, pray all the technical doctor talk and we'll agree with you. And so they go, what? I said, just pray it all out, the stuff you know we should pray for that we don't even know how to form the words. All right. So they start walking around praying all this kind of Latin stuff, you know, and all these statements. And we, amen, amen. We remember that? We prayed for hours about that. I remember when the dad said, come here and look at this. And on Heather's abdomen, they had this piece of plastic protective sheeting over it. And they had had a triangle cut out where they had to remove so much of her muscle and so forth. And I could see right into her intestines and her stomach area and all that. And I just stood there and just watched God reviving this girl, that his word, all those other medicines, hallelujah. But God, see, they didn't come up with the right medicine on time. The timing of her impending death had lapsed before they came up with, oh, we know what we need to use now in terms of antibiotic to save her. It was, you have to understand, she should have already been dead for several hours. Well, what sustained her? That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead was in that room. The word of God is alive, and he watches over his word to perform it. That's why when the centurion said, my servant is sick, I don't even deserve to have you come into my house. He said, just speak your word, and he'll be healed. He understood something about the nature of the Lord Jesus and his power and the power of the commanded spoken word. God's word is alive. It's powerful. It's all inspired and God-breathed. I heard scripture. Listen, I went to church when I was a kid, but when I heard the word of God proclaimed in faith, it revolutionized my thinking. I've never been the same. It's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. I'm born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. His word has changed my life. I know that what he did to me in salvation, I could take hold of in the difficulties of my life and stand in confidence that his promises are going to come to pass. So I watched God, and nobody could take this away from me. And I still see Heather, and it bothers her. So I try not to antagonize her. But I'm looking at a living miracle. I'm looking at a sign and a wonder testament to the faithfulness of God's word. And there are a lot of those all around. I mean, God is good. And his promises are yes and amen. In fact, it says this. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So see, he sent his word to bring an announcement of good news that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People are getting saved all over the place. There are people getting saved like crazy. We are in a move of God right now, in case you didn't know. The church in St. Louis has totally changed in the last 30 years. What God's doing in China in the last 25 years, the church has multiplied. In fact, they say in China, the church is growing at a greater rate than in North America. God is moving, and that's underground and illegal, by the way. But the word of God is not imprisoned. It's not just the growth of Christianity or religion. It is a manifestation of the saving power of God's Son in the earth and his word going forth. There are pastors preaching right now in underground churches with written out pages that they've smuggled to one another. And they treasure and value the word of God as the treasure that it is. Listen to verse 7, chapter 19 of Psalms. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Before psychiatry and psychology, before all the advent of all these modern medicines that are helpful to people's emotions and so forth, the stabilizing power of God's word has been and always will be a force to bring hurt people into comfort, confused people into clarity, depressed people back into balance. I'm telling you, God's word is a reliable, powerful, restorative, impactful message. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. No matter what your education, no matter what your IQ, You spend time in God's Word, it's going to advance you in spiritual knowledge. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, we're to be on guard against the error of unprincipled men in order that we do not fall from our own steadfastness. We're to be on guard from the error of unprincipled men. So the guard, the shield, is the Word. And we stand in the promise. We go, okay, well, what does God say about these things? Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are that which testify of me. The Word is a mirror that reveals Jesus to us, explains with perfection and with surety answers to the profound issues of life. I heard of Smith Wigglesworth. At 48 years old, he entered into ministry. He was a plumber in England. He was illiterate, didn't know how to read, but he came to know God, and he got into God's Word, and he learned how to read the Bible. And God used this man through the 20s and 30s to revolutionize everywhere he went. He thought there was a global revival because wherever he went, there was such extraordinary biblical manifestations of God. And God elevated him out of simplicity, out of being an unlearned man, but having been with the Word of God and been with Jesus, God put him in a profound position of impact. Same thing happens for all of us in here. I talked to a mother earlier today, troubled about indicators of a kid transitioning into teen years. And I commended her to the Word of God. I said, listen, God will help you with this. He'll show you how to raise your kids. She was overwhelmed, but I know there's help and there's hope in the Word. A guy wrote me a letter. He said, listen, I've been free from crack for 9 months. He got a hold of the Word of God. God has brought him into freedom from a substance that is lethal, that takes hold of your brain chemistry and alters it. And God has brought him into hope, and God has brought him out of addiction, and God's brought him on his feet. Come on, man. To what do you attribute it? He's attributing it to the Lord and to the power of God's Word, bringing him into change. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. More desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold. God's Word is an enriching force. You ask the crack guy, you say, hey man, what's better? Getting high on crack? No, getting free from crack by the power of the Holy Spirit. You ask this pastor up here, how did things work out the way they worked out? God's Word is true. I was with a pastor down there in New Orleans. He's been down there. He lost 1/3 of his people after Katrina. He has a small church. He said, I hear you have a large church. I said, yeah. And he said, to what do you attribute that? I said, and before I could answer, he said, to your charm and good looks or something. I said, no. He said, to your eloquence and da-da-da. And he said, no. And he named off a bunch of stuff. He was teasing me because I looked at him and I said, I would attribute it to God's grace. You know, God's grace. He said, that would be the answer, wouldn't it? And I said, yeah. It's grace on him that sustains him to sustain his church through a hurricane and cause it to start growing again, to be able to pastor those allotted to his charge. It's God's grace corresponding to whatever the call. So how did your kids turn out? God's grace. How did you get this? God's grace. And God's gracious ability to fulfill his word and his promise. He sent his word and healed us. Right now, if you're battling sickness or you know somebody who is, it's not time for you to start showcasing in your mind all the people that died. You need to get a hold of the Word of God and go from page to page, watching Paul lay hands on the man at Malta and the man rise out of the bed and have a revival. You need to look at Dorcas, the girl who rose up out of the bed. You need to turn the page to Lazarus and see how he's capable of raising somebody from the dead after 4 days. You don't need to let your mind run off to, yeah, but what about this? No, take hold of the promise of God. Mrs. Richard almost died 10 times. The family told me that Jesus appeared to her and said, do you want to come home? And she said, no, I want to spend more time with my kids. Jesus turned and left the room. She saw a vision of Jesus years back. I didn't know this until yesterday. She held out. She had strokes. She had attacks. She fought the fight, even to the point where her quality of life was so low. She just held to it and fought the fight. She had so much faith in her. I mean, it just sustained her to an incredible level. I mean, God is faithful. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. See, we were born again, not by the corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's why you've lasted this long. It's because it's incorruptible seed. And boy, there have been plenty of things to try to corrupt it. But God's Word is pure, it's real, it's authentic. The message of Jesus is true. Jesus didn't come to establish Christianity. He came to set sinners free so they don't have to burn in hell forever. And man, he destroyed the works of the devil. And if he could save you from hell, he could sustain you through the weirdnesses of this life. He could bring you through with your job. You business owners, trust God. If I owned a business, I'd invite God into that deal when I was doing the bills and checking the spreadsheet. If I owned a restaurant, I'd be believing God to cover everything and fill everything with His Spirit and pray for the workforce and pray for the... Man, I would be praying my head off. If I was pastoring a church, I'd be believing God for His will to be... Oh, wait, I am. I'd be believing God for His will to be done, that people would prosper, they'd be strengthened, they'd rise up above temptation, they'd plow through and believe God, they'd fulfill all the... God's plan would come to pass, they'd realize the fullness of the things He's planned for them to do. I'd be holding up a shield, binding the devil. If I was a pastor of a church, I'd be watching out for wolves trying to mess with people. I'd be praying for people to make wise choices. And if I was a preacher, I would be preaching 90% Bible verses and a few stories. So why do you do that? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. At the end of the day, man, what am I supposed to do? What's the best thing I could give you? Bunch of stories from the Reader's Digest with a couple of verses thrown in? No, faith comes by hearing the word. We're people of the book, man. God doesn't watch over our ideas to perform it. He watches over His word to perform it. God has answers in this place right now for your situation. Yes, your situation. Some of you in a dry place, I pray rivers of living water get all over you. Some of you that lost your edge, man, I pray that God strengthens you. You say, man, I don't think I'm the most colorful crayon in the box, but I know that the law of the Lord makes wise the simple. I don't think I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know God makes wise the simple. What are some of those other phrases? Sharpest tool in the shed? That's a funny one, man. I like that one. But I heard the new one, the brightest crayon in the box. I thought that was good. I heard that in the last service. There are a couple of guys that came out of our church that I had some investigator interview them for some secret security thing. They were the youngest guys to be inducted and accepted into Washington University. Then I found out they glided through. They just tested out. And the guy was freaked out. He said, all they did was homeschool and go to church. What's up? And I said, basically, first of all, they're geniuses. Secondly, God anointed them. You say, well, I'm not the brightest. Listen, you know what? Neither was Smith Wigglesworth. And he has revolutionized Christianity in the last 50 years for a lot of people. And he's just some plumber from England. It was actually a ruffian. God gave him perspective. Right now, I pray a brightness comes on you where you feel dull. I pray an edge gets back on you. You know, at home, I've got Joe gave me a knife sharpener that I really like. And it has ceramic wheels on one side and metal wheels on the other. And I am into sharpening knives. No, I'm kidding. I didn't hear myself. I'm also like a multitask ADD kind of a situation. Like, so I'm in the kitchen talking to Patsy, and while she's talking to me, I'm taking out the knives and feeling them. And I got the knives just so sharp, man. Watch out for the knives. I pray the same thing happens in this church. I pray you get strengthened with might and power. I pray you get so sharpened. Look what it does here. It enlightens the eyes. You know, the older I get, the more I've got to have little arm extensions. You know what I mean? But in God, He sharpens our focus. They say that eagles, they can see a mile away. They could read a paper a mile away. I didn't know they could read. But they could read a... That's weird. You know, they're up on a telephone pole reading the front page of the USA Today. Watching that little factoid in the corner. Oh, hey, cool. They got some sort of crazy little binoculars in their eyes. Did you know that? I'm telling you. I've been apathetic at times. I've gone for periods of time where I got a blasé attitude toward my Bible. And I can tell you, those were seasons of great dullness in my life. And this morning I decided I want to go through Psalm 119. So I went through all of Psalm 119. You want to know why? It's all about the Bible. And it basically extols how cool the Word of God is. So how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. It says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It has a lot of those phrases in it. It's all about the word, the word, the word. By the time I finished it, man, it was like an appetizer. I'm ready to dive in. So with this, we see that God's word is inspired. It's profitable. It's not just something that got sort of put together during the Council of Nicaea. It's not all of a sudden all these other books are coming out that contradict this book. Listen, guys, this is God's word. It is reliable. It has withstood the test of time. It has overcome the criticisms of smart people. And it will last forever. The grass will wither, the flowers will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. It doesn't need to be defended. It doesn't need to be, let's hurry up and scramble and let's prove this is right. God's word is proving itself out every day. I got saved by hearing the word. I'm going through issues right now where the only thing I have to stand on are promises that I'm reading in the Bible. David said, Lord, are they increased that trouble me? Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. He is faithful. He is faithful. You're in the middle of a situation. Don't be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience obtain and inherit the promises of God. Stand on the conviction that God's word is working mightily in the situation that you're in. No matter what the situation, say, wait a minute, God, I'm trusting you to turn this thing around. He is faithful. The last service, Charlotte Grafe was here. She said, Pastor, my birthday was last Thursday. You can now tell everybody I am 89. She's the lady in the church. She's in the last service. I tell everybody she's 89. But she's been 88 all year. I've been incorrect until today. Now I could say she's 89. But wait a minute. Did you know that I got a call from her doctor? Did you know the doctor told me that she had a disease that is so rare, there have only been 100 of them since the 1800s? Did you know that he suggested she not get help and that she should just let it go and just because she's so old and she's not going to be able to deal with the surgery? Did you know she said, no, I'm going to take whatever I can get. I'm believing God. And she went in there and submitted to a radical deal. And she's just right on the front row with her little walker and a big smile. And you'd never know she even has sickness on her situation because she just filled with God and standing on the promises of God. And that's what I want to be like when I grow up. So I'm hanging out with Heather and I'm hanging out with Charlotte and I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. And listen, unless you think I'm trying to gloss over things, I've done 600 plus funerals. I have been with people when they died of all kinds of ages. God has not spared me the trauma of having to do that part of pastoring. Yet it does not in any degree chisel away at the viability and power and authenticity of God's promises. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all sorted out, but I know He does, and I know His word is true. And I'm going to fight the fight of faith with it. I'm going to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and plow through the concrete situations of a challenging world and trust God for His promises to come to pass. Have we had looming circumstances? Yes. Have we had overwhelming challenges? Yes. Betrayal from people? Yes. Bad circumstances? Yes. Demon attack? Big time. Sleepless nights? A ton of them. But God is faithful. That's giving me goosebumps, man. Listen, Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. I pray God would breathe on you strength. Who in here could use a fresh blast of strength? He gives strength to the weary. One thing I notice, the older I get, the less energy I've got cranking through my body. Did you notice that? But that's all right, because I know where the energy comes from. The Holy Spirit will get a hold of us and stabilize and strengthen us. Anybody ever need wisdom in this place? I do. I need wisdom from God. I'm so far out beyond my own resources that it's terrifying. in terms of my own natural strength and ability. In fact, when we were down there at that park, I walked around and looked at all that was going on, and a lady, she's not a Christian, she was asking me about God and everything, and I was talking to her about Jesus. And she said, "How did you get this vision and this idea?" And I said, "Oh, the Lord's showed me to honor God, help people, and stuff like that, and started Service International in 1985. She said, "Isn't it amazing? Look at this." And I went, "Yeah, it's amazing." I was just sitting there on the bench with her, and I went, "Yeah, it is amazing what God will do. It is amazing the kind of prayers God will answer, the kind of impact an obedient life will have. The presiding issue is the Word of God. You want to live effectively in life, take the Word more seriously. Take it into your heart. Does anybody have an iPod in this place? Anybody have an iPod? Download the Bible verses on it. Does anybody have a CD player? Let me see your hands if you have a CD player. Cassette player. 8-track. Somebody gave me a shirt for my 50th birthday. My other iPod is an 8-track. And a bunch of these kids are, "What is that?" That's the mode of music where right in the middle of Itagata Devita, it stopped. It started over again on the next side. What's in Itagata Devita? Oh, never mind. Some vaudeville hit from the ancient prehistoric time. What do you believe in God for? What do you believe in God for? What promises are you standing on? I got a text message from somebody yesterday who's fighting a fight for his brother. I think, man, it's cool that brother has this guy in his corner because he's standing on the promises of God. He's believing God for the promises of God. I got an email from a lady a few months back about her husband's job, and it was in a transition. And she basically invited me in to pray about it, and without getting in a lot of detail, God did even beyond what we had believed God for. It was so cool. We found out a little while later that the contract came in this way, and the other contract came in this way, and the other people, without even debating, honored the better side of the contract, and it all worked out real great. But at first it looked going into it like this might be the end of it, but actually it got even better. You know, Heather is this kid running around the church. How old is she now? 14? 13? And she's just an example. Walking around, people just think, "Oh, that's just some kid. That's some middle school kid in the church." No, no, no. She's a living miracle that if she was living around this time, it would have been in Acts chapter something. He said, "Well, modern miracles of medicine is modern medicine and science." Yeah, thank God for the doctors, but the doctors gave up about 5 times. But God came in and moved on that kid, man. I pray He moves on your situation. I pray that you bust loose financially. I pray you bust loose and the Spirit of God gets all over you. I pray that you have a revival in your heart. Some of you have gotten cold and kind of worn down. I believe God's Word can produce in you a surge forward in your walk and get you back, not in giddy beginnings, but in a vibrancy. Some of you that your mate is on fire for God and you're sort of the kind of watching it kind of a person, really, you're marked to serve God too. You don't have to be like her or him. You be you, but get really open to God. You say, "Well, I am open to God." Well, get open wide, everything. Surrender to Him. Just see what happens. Just draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. It says, "Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We need to throw away double-mindedness and get off the fence. Remember that Eagles song? Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for too long. Anybody, one time I jumped over a fence and I didn't make it all the way. You know what happens when you straddle the fence? You get perforated. So when you're a fence straddler, it's like, "Oh," you know. So they say, "Get on one side or the other." He said, "Quit vacillating between two opinions. Quit halting between two opinions." I did that once. I jumped over a fence and kind of didn't totally commit and went, "Eh." I've done that spiritually. That's what Joshua said. "Hey, either serve these idols or walk with God." He said, "As for me and my house, I'm jumping the fence. I'm going with God. I'm going." Well, but I was listening to this. They think this is a Mother Mary. It was a Mary Magdalene and kids. And I don't know if I believe that anymore because there's a movie with Tom Hanks. Don't let the be on guard against the error of unprincipled men, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. What's up with this? God's holy word. It has withstood the test of time. It predated Hollywood, and it'll be around when people are hovering around on hovercraft and transport kind of button-pushing dissolve systems. When the people are going to church like this, and then they show up at church, the word of God will still be standing. I'm talking past hovercraft now. Past ethanol, you know? You guys, it's good, man. God is so good. I pray, God, if there's anybody in here who's not certain, they've come today and they need to get right with the Lord, I pray they get saved today. In fact, let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I step up to your throne, and I gladly receive your mercy and grace, your favor and your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for stabilizing me, strengthening me, anointing me, using me to help others to come to know the Lord. I thank you for healing my body from the top of my head, down through my arms, through my torso, down to my toes. By your stripes, I am healed. You are the Lord that heals me, and I thank you for your grace. I commit my heart to Jesus to the best of my ability. I turn from all my sin, and I thank you for your forgiveness. I receive you as my Lord and as my healer. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for us. We take hold of everything you've provided, God. Thank you that you're moving into every nook and cranny of our lives. There's no stone unturned. There's no difficulty too great for you. We receive help from heaven. I thank you for turnaround. I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for an open door. I thank you for powerful, effective change in every area of our lives. We refuse to quit. We are not shrinking back. We're trusting God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only he can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through him. Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord, and that through faith in him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved, and that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running. No more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called the Bible. Go to it and read it. Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience Him and come to understand His ways. Read the what they call the epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to His heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to Him and have access with Him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to be to bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for His purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and His perfect will for your life.